What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, your two cents of basketball. My name is Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod, and I'm joined by my two fantastic co-hosts. First, the man with more moves than a cheat code on NBA Jam, the Sandmaster, Evans. How are you doing, man?
Good, man. It's been a busy month of basketball, but enjoying all of it.
Awesome. And also joined by the man who just bought new shoes, Rafael. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to go play some basketball. I have my new shoes. I want to test them. So after we record this, we're probably going to shoot around for a bit.
We'll see about that. We'll see how long this takes. All right, we have an amazing show. We have a new segment to introduce. It's going to be called our top three, I guess, until we come up with a better name.
Yeah. Wow, that's so creative.
So original, yeah. But more details to come about the top three.
How long did we have to brainstorm to come up with that name?
A few weeks, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but there were not a lot of suggestions. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's only natural to call it the top three. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we have a couple of news to share with everyone. Nothing breaking, but worth mentioning. Let's start off with the WNBA, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yay, so much excitement. The WNBA All-Stars have been announced this week, starting off with the captains. So, Rafael, your Washington Mystics, Elena Delle-Donne, she's going to be a captain again. So it's going to be her sixth All-Star selection. And she's going to be joined by Asia Wilson from the Las Vegas Aces as captain. And she's only her second year as All-Star and in the WNBA. So she's off to an amazing start. The other 20 players that are going to be part of the All-Star game and available to be drafted on Tuesday have been announced. Some highlights, Liz Cambage from Las Vegas Aces, and who last season, everyone will remember, she destroyed the most points scored in a game with 53 points, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
And she's now part of Las Vegas team. Chelsea Gray of the Sparks, Brittany Griner from the Mercury, she's also going to be a starter. Natasha Howard from the Storm, Jonquil Jones from the Connecticut Sun, Joel Lloyd from the Storm as well, Kayla McBride from Las Vegas Aces, and guess who else? Kia Nurse, Canadian Kia Nurse.
Nice.
Just in her second year in the WNBA, she's going to be a starter of the WNBA All-Star game. So huge, huge kudos to Kia Nurse for representing Canada and for making the WNBA All-Star game already.
Didn't we talk about Kia Nurse a couple of weeks ago when she was complaining about the flights and stuff?
No,
was
that
it
was
Kia Nurse?
No, that was not Kia Nurse.
Okay.
It was Natasha Chonwa.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Another Canadian player,
yeah. So there's a few Canadians in the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
Kia Nurse, she, I think there's a huge billboard in Toronto that I hope still up, but I think she also got a court named after her.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in Toronto. So this is fantastic. As we've mentioned in the previous couple of weeks, here in Canada, we have more WNBA games being televised because of Kia Nurse, because of Natalie Chonwa, and because of other WNBA players that are from Canada. So, I mean, it's kind of sad that, yes, this made the news, as in, you know, your TSNs and other sports outlets.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that if this was a male NBA player from Canada, we would still be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, let's not take away from everything that Kia Nurse has achieved so far. The WNBA All-Star Draft is this coming Tuesday, July, what is it? I forgot.
23rd.
Thank you. 23rd. So we'll see where Kia ends up in Team Delle-Donne or Team Wilson.
Mm. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but I was reading the other day that there's some, story behind Natasha Howard, that there's some like allegations of domestic violence. She stabbed her wife or something like that.
Nope.
Have you heard about that?
Nope.
Yeah. And it was like some debate if she was going to actually be allowed to play the All-Star game or not. I was reading the other day about that, but that's something that I just
dramas.
Wanted to throw. Yeah,
quite
thanks
some
for
news.
Bringing the drama.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently there's like a domestic violence allegation against her. She stabbed her wife. Of course, I don't know enough about it to give you more details, but yeah, that's what I read about. Some
irresponsible gossip.
WNBA.
Good job.
Violent.
And I was also reading, I don't know if that's confirmed, if you guys know about it, but I think the Toronto Raptors will get a WNBA team next season or something like that.
Yes, they.
Because I was reading that they're gonna have a pool to define the name, right? They're gonna.
Yes,
have a,
so
yeah.
That's actually a very good point. There is now an entire movement. It's called WNBA Toronto for the time being, but all the social media accounts, if you just look them up as WNBA Toronto, I think the paperwork has been submitted to the WNBA to have a WNBA team in Toronto, which would be fantastic, right, for the growth of the sport and obviously to feature more women in basketball. There is no name yet, like you said, Rafael. So there's going to be a, once the team is accepted, etc., there's going to be a poll where the public can enter their names. Maybe we should send our suggestions. I mean, if the Raptors made it as the name for the Toronto team,
it's going to be another dinosaur.
I guess we got to choose another dinosaur. No, I don't know. Well, we'll see. Although a lot of the WNBA teams seem to not pay homage, but they go along with the NBA team. So actually, no, now that I think of the Los Angeles Sparks has nothing to do with the Los Angeles Lakers, but the Mystics and the Wizards, they kind of go along. The Storm Lynx. And the Sonics.
Lynx and Wolves.
The Lynx and the Wolves.
I think at first when the WNBA started, they tried to make that connection between the name of the teams. But some of them are gone, right? For example, the Phoenix Mercury is still there.
And so Phoenix Suns. That makes sense.
But for example, the Houston Comet no longer exists.
Yeah, no.
It was one of the most Rockets. Famous WNBA teams. Houston Rockets, Houston Comets.
Right. So. Yeah, no, I guess we can choose another name. It doesn't have to necessarily be attached to a dinosaur. But we'll see. Once the poll opens, we can submit our names.
Yeah.
And hey, if one of our names gets chosen, we'll for sure brag about it over here.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's move on to the next thing, which is the Big Three. A bit of a slower week. Not many news. I don't think we really discussed the dismissal of some players from the Big Three. So if you guys have been paying attention, you might have seen that Lamar Odom, Bonzi Wells, and Baron Davis are no longer part of the Big Three.
Jermaine O'Neal. Well.
And Jermaine O'Neal. Thank you. Yeah. They were dismissed last week.
Yes. Due to different reasons.
Due to different reasons.
They all have different
reasons. No, nothing in common.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing in common.
So can you say the names again? Lamar Odom, Bonzi Wells,
Baron Davis,
Jermaine O'Neal.
Okay. At least three out of four of these guys, they were like troublemakers when they were in the NBA as well.
Who?
Lamar Odom, Bonzi Wells.
Lamar Odom did not have a reputation.
What?
It was after. It was after he quit the NBA.
He had a little bit during, I think.
I wouldn't say, like, Bonzi Wells, yes. Bonzi Wells, absolutely.
Jailblazer.
Jermaine O'Neal, yeah. Another I mean, Malice in the Palace, of course.
Right. Yeah.
But.
In Baron Davis.
Baron Davis
is clean. Come on.
So I said
especially
three out of
the
four.
Last year.
I said three out of four.
I don't know. Lamar Odom, I feel it's a bit of a stretch. When he was with the Clippers and the Lakers, there was nothing to be said about the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
So, after the dismissal of these guys, for many reasons, this is a move that I think Ice Cube and the managing partners from the Big Three decided to make the games more entertaining. Apparently, these guys were not taking the Big Three as a priority, and that's why they were dismissed or were injured for a long time. So they were not really considering Big Three as a priority.
Right.
That's the main reason behind it. For some players like Baron Davis, he went out to Twitter and actually confirmed that. He said that he wished nothing but the best to the league and that indeed it was not in his interest to play.
That's very mature of him.
Yeah. For Jermaine O'Neal, I think he found out on Instagram because when the announcement got posted, he posted a comment and said, like, does anyone care to explain me what's going on? And later on, I think they ended up in amicable terms.
Right.
But Bonzi Wells and Lamar Odom, nothing has been said about them.
No, I think for Lamar, it was more like he had to be cleared by his doctors for medical reasons because of his, I guess, drug overdose a couple of years ago. Yeah. But Bonzi, I'm not too sure what his reasons are.
I don't even remember Bonzi having a huge season last time from the Big Three. And if there are other players that are, you know, that still have it in the tank and are going to give the people a better show, then I think that was the right move.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very disappointed that Russell Westbrook decided not to sign with the Ball Hogs, but anyways.
Still too young for that. Yeah. Still too young. Let's give him a break. And some chance, I guess. But yeah, other than that, yesterday, the Power and the Triplets were the Triplets
teams.
Were undefeated at that point.
Right.
They faced each other. And the Power beat the Triplets, giving them their first loss of the season.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah, and it was Corey Maggette that hit the dagger at the end.
Yeah.
Against, I think it was actually against Iso Joe.
I think it was too, actually, yeah.
So at the top of the league, we have the Power. Surprise, surprise. The reigning champs are at the top, followed by the Triplets. And Raphael's favorite team, the Ballhawks, are at the very bottom. No wins, 5 losses.
I never said they're my favorite team.
Oh, I know, but I think it is now. So we'll get you a shirt, don't worry.
So if you guys could pick 3 NBA players that, you know, could replace these guys that were just released, or 4 NBA players that could replace these 4 guys that were just released next season, who do you think would be good candidates? I think Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford, we all agree that...
Why?
You know, like,
you have something about retiring guys early. Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, yes. I would agree there.
You think
he would be a great show.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's done playing ball.
Right.
Yeah, I'm also not saying that their time with the NBA is over. I'm just saying that I'm waiting for Jamal Crawford to make it to the big three because it's going to be so much fun.
He doesn't have a team, so it wouldn't be the end of the world if he joins the big three.
Next year. Right.
If he doesn't have a team this season. I mean, Amare Stoudemire and...
Right.
Who else? Monta Ellis, but he's not in the big three. But Amare played... he had a private workout with 9 teams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, if this is a platform for Jamal Crawford to then get a 10-day contract or something with the NBA, it's not the end of the world, really.
Yeah.
So that's a good pick. But I don't know who else I would replace.
You mentioned Monta Ellis. It would be another great
pick. Monta Ellis
would
be,
yeah.
He would be exciting to see in the big three. Third one, I guess just for star power, I would go with Vince Carter.
No, but I think he waited too long. He's too old now to go play for the big three, I think.
He can still dunk, though.
Yeah.
Wait, Vince Carter, he's still in the NBA, no?
Yeah, but he's 40...
No, for next season.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him this. This is going to be his, you know, his swan song and saying goodbye, whatnot. But for next year, I would include... if it's for immediate replacement, yikes.
Dwayne Wade.
Oh, yeah, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Nowitzki would be good.
Nowitzki, I would put in the same category as Vince Carter. I think he waited too long to join the big three.
I don't think they even want to be honest.
Yeah, I mean...
Just throw Shaq in there, maybe.
Ooh. That would be interesting to see.
Shaq versus Odin. I think Odin's kind of, like, dominating right now because no one can really stop him. So.
Or even Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith is a very good.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
You think Vince Carter is too late, but Kenny Smith is safe?
If you want to put Vince Carter, then you might as well just put Kenny Smith because he keeps in very good condition. Right?
No.
He's very good condition.
Vince Carter is in NBA shape. Kenny Smith is in studio shape.
Out of the.
It's like the three of us. We're in studio shape right now,
yes,
basically.
That's right. That's
getting
right.
ready to play ball later.
I think out of the guys that are like working for ESPN and other sports channels now,
Paul Pierce?
No,
maybe.
He's in not as good as in good shape as Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith is in better shape.
What
than
about
Paul
Chris Webber?
Chris Webber is in good shape.
Yeah, he could play.
What about
Kevin Garnett?
Stackhouse? KG? I think Stackhouse could still play.
Reggie Miller, he's in good shape, but I don't know.
Oh yeah, Reggie.
Stackhouse, yeah, he's a coach right now though.
Right.
All right.
This list could go on forever.
Yes.
Yeah, we can still go. We should have a special big three or like 3-on-3 basketball maybe later in the summer
for FIBA and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I would like to see AO from N1. I would like to see him playing in the big three. And also Hot Sauce.
I think you just want a reunion
guys
of the N1 mixtape tour.
I would love that.
Now with all the nostalgia of, like, you know, live action Lion King and Mulan and all that thing, maybe they should do a reunion of the N1 mixtape tour.
Come on, Ray for Austin could play for the big three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the professor.
We don't know that,
those
though.
Guys.
Yeah.
The
we
professor
don't know,
could
we
play.
We don't know what Ray for Austin's been doing all these years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We might be wrong.
Maybe we need to send Raf on a detective mission.
I mean, could you guys see Damon Jones playing? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know.
One guy that I would love to see playing is Steve Francis, but we all know that he's not in very good shape, so... It's a shame.
Right.
It's a shame. Like, he's such a wasted talent.
Unlike his teammate
Coutinho Mobley.
Who's the real Uncle Drew out there. Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's move on to Team Canada, who recently sent out the invites for their training camp in preparation for the 2019 Basketball World Cup. I think it's safe to say that we all assume that the USA is gonna usually dominate this kind of international tournaments because of the talent that they have and all the stars that they can send out. However, a number of stars have already declined their own invite from the Team USA camp. So Anthony Davis, James Harden, I think Bradley Beal also declined his invite. But Team Canada is kind of stacked. So the first round of invites went out to 29 players, and a number of these players are now in the NBA. A lot of them have been recently drafted. So like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who is now part of the Pelicans, RJ Barrett with the Knicks, Mutombo's cousin, his name is, I'll give him my cousin. Honest shot.
Wait, not his cousin.
Nephew. Nephew, okay. Sorry. Not his cousin. Yeah, you're right. Mifiondu Kabengele. I think that was all right.
That sounds pretty good.
If it was Mutombo's cousin, we might as well. I think it was a good idea to check his birth certificate to see if it's real or not.
No. It's his good nephew. Good thing it's his nephew. My bad. Mifiondu Kabengele. I dare you to say that, Rafael. No, don't need
Kabengele. Kabengele.
Yeah, Kabengele. Oh, that's right.
What's his first name?
No, let's try again later. he plays for the Clippers. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had an amazing season.
Yeah.
But other notable players are Corey Joseph, Trey Lyles, Jamal Murray, Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell, Nick Stauskas. All of these guys are in the NBA right now, along with other players who are in other leagues.
Nick Stauskas still in the NBA?
Come on, man. Come on. We're trying to play homage here to Team Canada. But honestly, out of the 29 players, this team feels stacked. It feels like they, like Team Canada, can actually have an impact in this World Cup, right?
Yeah.
The notable omission here was Andrew Wiggins, who did not receive an invite this year. And according to Team Canada's general manager, Rowan Barrett, who is RJ Barrett's father and former captain of Team Canada back in 2000s, seems that they were giving Andrew Wiggins time to focus on himself, to focus on his career, and not let him, you know, not, they didn't want to add pressure to him, because I think Andrew Wiggins has a lot of pressure right now. He signed a big contract and hasn't really played out, versus a lot of the players on the squad right now. They're young, they can make an impact early on their careers, and you know, they have a lot of talent, and add on to players that have been in the NBA for a long time, so Corey Joseph or Kelly Olynyk, Jamal Murray, etc. I mean, it's a good balance of youth and talent and veterans. What do you guys think?
Sounds like a good squad. I mean, you got Jamal Murray and Olynyk, two guys that have proven themselves in the NBA, so they can definitely bring high competition basketball for Team Canada.
Yeah, no, it would be super exciting to see what they can do. Recently, though, the only player that has declined his invite is Tristan Thompson. For, I guess, personal reasons, let's call it. But I don't think, I would say that 4 years ago when the last World Cup happened, it was a big hit, but I think that now with all the talent and all the youth that Team Canada has, I don't think it's a big deal. It would have been great to have a veteran there, someone that has won the NBA championship.
Right.
to have him in the locker room, but I guess it's
other priorities right now.
I'm sure he has, yes.
A lot
yes,
on his plate.
Pretty much so.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. There are no reasons, but another name that also pops here is Brandon Clark, who was born in Vancouver, and now, I guess you can say ironically or poetically, plays for the Grizzlies, for the Memphis Grizzlies, that is. He was invited. So we're going to see which players accept their invite. The World Cup doesn't start until August, so there's enough time for these guys to train, to gel, and make some damage at the World Cup, which, you know, in the World Cup, seven teams will qualify directly to the 2020 Olympics.
And just to make sure, Brandon Clark, the one that just got drafted, right?
Yeah.
Correct. And he just won Summer League MVP honors.
Did he?
And he won with the Memphis Grizzlies, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But he was not even like a top 10 pick, was he?
That's
surprising that he got the MVP for the Summer League.
He was drafted 21st.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for him. Brandon Clark went from overlooked to overrated, back to overlooked.
Oh, that's cool.
So a lot of people had him very high on their draft board, and then he was knocked down because of his shot selection and a number of things. And I think he went 3 out of the 4 years of college. So people that are not too high on older players joining the NBA
mm-hmm.
were obviously not excited about him.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he posted numbers in the summer league against his fellow rookies, it's clear that he's ready for the NBA.
Nice.
That's great. Good for him.
All right.
But Brazil is not going to be playing that competition. We didn't make it to the World Cup this time.
Neither did Mexico. No, we got eliminated.
You know what? We didn't make it to the Pan American Games. We're not going to play the Pan American Games in Lima. It's the first time in I don't know how many years that Brazil didn't qualify
really?
For the Pan American Games.
We should do an entire episode on you know Team Canada and maybe our Team Brazil, Team Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be interesting to see, you know, because back in the day, and I mean, I'm throwing it back to maybe 30, 40 years ago, probably it meant a lot more to win with your country than nowadays. Now, I'm not saying that it's not worth it, but a lot of players that have made it to other leagues, you know, EuroLeague, Australian League, the NBA, of course, sometimes they reject their invite just to focus
mm-hmm.
in playing with their clubs, which is completely respectable.
Right.
But, you know, it means a lot to a lot of people in their own countries.
I think it's a little bit of FIBA's fault as well and the job that they've done promoting these competitions.
Also that, yeah.
I think that they need to do a better job because the NBA, of course, they are like marketing giants.
Mm-hmm.
But the glory of becoming a champion of your country is still there. Like, and some players, they recognize that. Argentina is a great example. Like, they rally together and they do a
mm-hmm.
great job.
You know, having said that, it's also different to be a FIBA champion versus an Olympic champion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels a lot... I think there's a lot more commitment when it comes to the Olympics
mm-hmm.
than when it comes to the Basketball World Cup.
Yes.
Right? Which, if we compare it to soccer, let's say, it obviously means more to win the FIFA World Cup
yes.
than it means to mean that it means to win
the
Olympics right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely an entire thing that we can talk about all day long as well with a little bit more research,
mm-hmm.
but an interesting topic.
Research?
Indeed.
What do you mean, research?
The thing that you do
once a year?
Yeah. Once a year.
When you come prepared, you know? That's what
yes,
research means.
That's what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Let's move on to our very exciting and new segment, the Dropping Diamonds Top 3. Aptly named because while we wait for the NBA season to start and for more news to come up, throughout the summer we're going to give you our top 3 whatever. So we're going to have a top 3 sneakers, top 3 movies, all related to basketball.
We need some sort of sound effect for that introduction, you know.
Don't
like,
worry. Well, I'll try to make it happen.
If we don't figure it out
no promises.
For the next two episodes, I'm gonna bring a real horn here. I'm just gonna go like
I can see that happening and it's annoying. But today we're gonna bring you our top 3 basketball moments. Is everyone excited?
Very excited.
We gotta be clear. Was it moments or games?
Moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this includes personal games.
Okay.
This includes NBA games, college, WNBA, your top 3 basketball moments in your lifetime.
Okay.
It's very vague.
I did send it out on our WhatsApp group.
Open-ended, right?
Yeah.
How come all these complaints
I
are showing up right now,
understand.
Not last
we
night?
We just want to clarify.
Wait, I didn't understand
no.
that it could be a personal game, for example, a game that I played.
I typed that on my phone. I can show you right now. I know what we're doing this while we record.
I just want to make sure that I explained then that I picked the moments that defined me as a basketball fan, not related to my basketball playing career.
So this is
that it's very
this is,
oh, that's
as
very
well.
Different.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think that was the case because none of us made it to college basketball or the NBA. But I mean, if you want to tell me about that one game when you were 6 years old and you scored 40 points, go for it. I'm not judging. But just to be clear, for everyone at home, I said top 3 moments in basketball. And this is on our WhatsApp group. Prepare your favorite moments in basketball, guys. This can be personal, NBA, WNBA, NCAA, national squad, whatever it is, as long as it's related to the game. So no sneakers, no movies, nothing like that.
Okay. So we are not
so
supposed to
clear
talk
it
about...
I was clear.
So... From what you wrote there, it's supposed to be something that didn't happen to us, for example, not a game that I was playing. It's more
personal.
Like a moment that could, you know, like define me
as
a basketball
fan. I mean, if it was that one game when you scored 10 points when you were 6 years old, go for it.
Okay.
As long as you have a nice story,
that's not
I'll
what
take
I'm
it.
Do.
Let's
okay.
try it out.
Do you even have a moment like that or are you just being a pain in the back?
No, I do have several moments, great moments
of course,
from my basketball
I'm sure you do.
Career.
Of course. All right.
Okay, let's go.
So the way that this is going to work out is that we're going to go from our third moment, so from
our least favorite our of the least top favorite three?
From the top three, yeah.
Okay.
From the worst of the best.
The worst of the best.
Yeah. To the cream of the crop. All right. So why don't we start with Raphael, since you were so vocal about it.
Okay.
What is your top three moment? Oh, sorry. Last thing, which you actually brought up, Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
This is within our lifetime.
Okay.
So nothing that, I don't know, you know, George Mikan being drafted by the Lakers the 72 Celtics. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
While something we were alive. Something
that you witnessed.
And,
correct.
And just to make sure that people understand that I was born in 88. You were born in 88, right?
1988, yeah.
Evans? 84.
Okay. So Zen Master. That's why we call him the Zen Master. Yes.
So that's what we're working with.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So here we go. Get us started, man.
My number three, it's the 1995 NBA season. And the reason
the entire thing.
Yes, the entire season. The reason I picked that season, it's because my first memories of watching basketball, I think they come from the 1995 NBA season. Nice. More specifically from the playoffs. I vivid remember my father recording the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
So Magic against Bulls. Yeah. When Shaq was playing, where Shaq was playing for the Magic and Penny as well.
Sorry, it says here Bulls versus Sonics.
Well,
95-96 or 96-97?
95. And 94, I also remember 95, I Reggie Miller against the Knicks. That's like part of my first memories, basketball memories.
That might be 94, 95.
Mm.
Keep going. Yeah.
So that's why I selected this season because, I mean, that's the first vivid memory that I have of watching basketball.
Nice.
Also, Reggie Miller was part of that vivid memory that I have. Penny Hardaway, that series between the Magic and the Bulls.
Oh, sorry. No, you're right. So, yeah, the 95, 96... had the Magic facing the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. So that's like the first memory that I have.
Actually, no, sorry. Magic versus Pacers.
What?
Yeah. And there was a Magic Bulls in the semifinals.
Right. Okay. Eastern Finals.
I'm not trying to ruin your moment. It was a long time ago. So
I was 8 years old. So I had to do research to remember how it happened.
For sure.
Also, one thing that really defined the 1995 season for me as a basketball fan was that a year after that, in 1996, my father took me to the U.S., and that's when I watched my first NBA game.
Nice.
So,
which one was it?
Was the Clippers against the Rockets in Los Angeles. And Charles Barkley was playing for the Houston Rockets. And I think Clyde Drexler was also playing for the Rockets, and maybe Pippen was there as well. I'm not sure if Pippen was already playing for the Rockets, but... Anyways, I remember that Charles Barkley was definitely there.
No Hakeem.
I don't remember. Right. Okay. I don't remember.
What was the thing that you liked the most about that game?
Charles Barkley. He was like a crowd pleaser. He was interacting with the crowd the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Huh. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, he was like talking to people that were sitting courtside. Kind of like... trash talking and teasing the Clippers fans,
right?
Having a good time, maybe a little bit more of what he should be doing as a professional player.
Right.
Maybe it showed that he was not 100% committed to his playing career anymore. But it was fun to watch. It was very fun to watch.
Who was your favorite player?
My favorite player when I first started to watching basketball was definitely Reggie Miller, and Penny Hardaway.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But Reggie Miller was a player that, you know, like, was one of my favorite players for a long time.
So let's see. Just to clarify, 94-96 had the Rockets and the Magic facing in the finals. And the Eastern Finals was Pacers-Magic. Now, the 95-96 season, let's see here.
Yeah, because from my research, unless my research is wrong... I think there were two seasons in a row where the Bulls and the Magic met in the conference finals.
Yeah, you're right. 95-96 So the Bulls and the Magic facing each other.
That was Jordan's comeback.
And the Bulls beat the Magic.
Yeah, yeah. They swapped the Magic, right?
They swept.
Yeah, yes. Sorry.
The Bulls and then the Bulls beat the Sonics in the finals. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Your story checks.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you.
Nice, nice. That's a nice start.
Okay. I did my research. Okay.
So you know how to do research.
Yeah, of course. All right. Nice. I have my notes here and everything.
So this is like the origin story for Rafael becoming an NBA fan.
Yes.
Nice. All right. Let's move on. Evans, what is your worst of the best? Worst
of the best? I think I'll go with an NCAA game, actually.
Oh, okay. College.
I think it was back in 97 when the Arizona Wildcats made it to the Final Four, and I think they faced Kentucky. And at that time, they had Bibby, so Mike Bibby, Michael Dickerson, this guy named Miles Simon, and the Jet Terry was also on Arizona team. So they were pretty stacked. I didn't even know who Jason Terry was at the time because all the highlight was on, like, Mike Bibby.
Right.
And, yeah, it was just a good experience watching my first Final Four as a kid and really getting hooked on it since. So, yeah, that was a big, big moment.
Did you watch it live or
no, was this... This was just on TV.
Right.
Yeah, this was just on TV. But it was my first time watching, like, non-pro sport, I guess, college sports. And, yeah, March Madness was on at the time, so I got hooked on to watching Arizona Wildcats.
Did they win the tournament?
They did, yeah. They actually won that year in 97. And I think there was... I think Mike Bibby at the time was actually debuting a pair of Nikes, the Foamposites, and that was kind of like a big deal at the time for Nike, for part of the marketing campaign. I think it was like their first time not using Little Penny, and instead they just kind of had a college player wear it in the final game.
Interesting.
It was a pretty interesting story there, yeah.
And two of those guys ended up with the Vancouver Grizzlies,
two
right?
Of the players ended up on Grizzlies. So yeah, that was an interesting coincidence that happened there. I don't know what happened to Miles Simons. I think he got drafted but was a bust. And then obviously Jason Terry is the Jet and has a championship. So they got a good team, yeah.
So yeah, BB and Dickerson moved on to be Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies.
Vancouver Grizzlies, that is. And yeah, like you said, the Jet, Terry, he won a championship.
He went on to, Mavs. With the Mavs.
Yeah.
So,
and according to Wikipedia, Miles Simon is currently an assistant coach for the Lakers.
Wow.
Who knew that?
Look at that.
You're supposed to know that.
I don't know the entire
You're supposed
staff.
To be like the crazy Lakers fan.
I know cool. the names of a lot of the assistant coaches, but, you know, it's a new staff.
Okay. Right.
I know the... Some of them.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Miles Simon, and I guess Luke Walton brought him in because he was a Wildcat before.
Maybe, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Some connection there. Who knows?
Maybe it's just because he's good friends with Ginny Buss.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so. All right. My third of the top three moments is my first live professional basketball game.
Oh.
This is back in Mexico City.
Nice.
I saw the national squad, so Team Mexico against Argentina. That was my very first live professional live basketball
when
event.
When was that?
This is 2002. So I started playing ball around 2001.
Nice.
So a little bit later in life.
Right.
I didn't grow up playing basketball, but I got hooked up right away, and this was the first time. And we had one of our guys from the team, Eduardo Najera, who I've talked about him multiple times on the show, Eddie Energy. He was our flagship player. He was the pride of the country at that point. And he joined the national squad. It was a friendly match against Argentina. And Team Mexico also had Horacio Llamas, who was the first Mexican-born player to play in the NBA. He was drafted by the Suns. And two other local players who are point guards, El Diablo Castañedas and Omar Quintero, both point guards. When I saw them playing live, I went there to see Eduardo Najera,
nice.
Honestly, and obviously supporting Team Mexico.
Yeah.
But when I saw these other two guys playing the point, I was hypnotized by both of them.
Nice.
And little did I know that I was also watching, on Team Argentina, I was watching Luis Scola and Manu Ginobili and Chapu Nocioni.
Wow.
So the
That's
beginning
cool.
of the golden generation. Those guys, like, I think after watching the documentary and after doing my research, I think five of the 10 players that went on to win that Olympic gold were in
there.
That game.
Do you remember how much you pay for those tickets? Because
it must have been dirty cheap right
like
now.
Like 20 pesos and you
no,
watch
no, no,
like
no.
most of the
No. It wasn't
stuff.
That cheap. I would say, you know, 500 pesos maybe per ticket,
mm-hmm.
which is less than $40.
Yeah.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Canadian, that is.
Still,
so,
it's a very good deal.
Yeah, no, and I remember having good seats. We didn't have a digital camera, so I remember taking shots. Like, my dad gave me his camera, and I was taking photos of Nahara, of Rice Ujamas, and it was very exciting because Nahara took the mic early on the game,
mm-hmm.
and he addressed the crowd, and he led us in singing the anthem. It was very emotional, wow. and we beat Argentina also. So it was an amazing night. And I remember after that night, that's when I was like, this is the best thing that I've seen in my life.
Nice.
I'm fully committed to basketball now.
Mm. Hooked since.
Yeah.
But nice. I think it's interesting how you mentioned that after watching a couple of point guards play, you noticed that that's the kind of position that you wanted to play as well, or that's the kind of player that you wanted to become. It's funny how some players, they define us or the style that we want to have when we play basketball.
Right.
I mentioned Reggie Miller, and I think he had the same influence for me.
Right.
When I started watching him play, that's when I figured that I wanted to be that kind of player, like taking those shots and,
nice.
You know, like moving around and stuff like that. And also another guy that I could mention is T-Mac, the way that he plays with his back to the basket and then pivoting a lot. And that's kind of thing. Those two players, they marked me a lot.
Did you have someone like that, Ives?
Yeah, I mean...
We're totally going on a tangent, but go for it.
It's not too far off because it was, you know, trying to decide between my second top two, and now that we're on the topic of players.
Is this a good segue to
I think so. I mean, just talking about players that resemble that, I think I really liked Eddie Jones growing up just because he was like speedy, very skinny guy like me and just really, you know, it was athletic and really like playing a smooth, you know, all around game. So I really liked, I think it resembled that and I really enjoyed that.
Nice. Mm. All right. Let's move on to number two of our top three. Let's start off with Evans now. So take it away.
So back to the same topic. I think the second one was when I actually went and saw Eddie Jones at a Grizzlies game. I think this was back in November of 99.
Okay.
And so what we did was me and a couple of friends, we went early. We made signs and everything. We got to the game early trying to get autographs. And I think someone from the Charlotte Television Network got us to go down to the court like hold our signs up for like a 10-second snippet for their own television network. So, and then after that, I think she went over to Eddie Jones and got him to come over and take some photos and sign some cards for us. So that was pretty neat. That was the first time meeting an actual NBA player and was a huge fan of too. So
let me get this straight. You were supporting the Hornets that night.
Oh yeah. Sorry,
Grizzlies.
You should
be ashamed.
We went to games to see
the other teams. You're the reason why we don't have an NBA team anymore.
Hey, the fact that I even went to the game, come on.
Hey, you know, that's what you get when you get an NBA team, and if they're not good, I mean, the team knows, and the owners know that, you know, sometimes they get people to watch the other team, right?
100%.
So, were you starstruck when you met Eddie Jones? Was it
definitely.
Like, Mr. Jones?
Growing up, we just... shout out to my friend KV and CV. Like we used to go to all the games and try to get autographs and stuff. So some of the players would completely ignore us, not give a damn. But he was nice enough to come over and like, you know, share a moment with us, which, you know, meant a lot, right? As kids,
right.
So yeah.
Oh, that's an awesome moment.
Yeah.
Do you still have those cards?
Yeah, I think I do. I'll have to pull them out and put them on the Dropping Dimes.
Yeah,
Instagram.
Absolutely, yeah.
See if I can find them, yeah.
Yeah, we should all see if we have photos of these moments.
That's a good idea.
I have to ask my parents, though.
You know, there was a time in Brazil, I don't remember which year it was, but the Brazilian national team, men's national team, they were like running an event in a park that it's behind my house, behind my apartment in São Paulo.
Nice.
Parque Vila Lobos, you know which one I'm talking about, right?
I do,
remember
that?
Yeah. So... they were running this event and the national squad was there and they were selecting some, I don't remember if they were playing a tournament or something, I don't remember, but national squad was there and they were selecting some players to, it was like a clinic kind of thing, like a basketball clinic for kids. And I went there and I was selected and I played with Anderson Varejão, his brother, Sandro Varejão.
Yeah.
And Elinho, he was the point guard at the time. Leandro Barbosa was not, I think he was not yet playing with the Brazilian national squad. I don't remember which year was that. I think maybe 1998, 1999. But that's another memorable moment that is not part of my list here. I just
You just gave us an extra one. bonus. How is that fair?
We gotta have more top threes down the road now.
This guy manages to always have like an extra one.
Sneak one in there. I like that.
Throwback to our first episode when I said, give me your top three players, and he gave me like top 10. Five. Alright, let's keep this train going. My number two moment, just to break it a little bit and not get rough out, it's game 7 of the 2010 finals between the Lakers and the Celtics.
Mm.
Now, this is not only the epitome of the basketball rivalry between the Lakers and the Celtics, I guess NBA, not just basketball. It was game 7. The Lakers had lost pretty badly the previous year against the Celtics. And it was sort of devastating because I think we lost in 5 games and that last game was a blowout. So, you know, fast forward a year, we get Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom was in another level, Kobe, same thing. We get Meta World Peace, etc., etc. But the exciting thing about this game was not only the game. Actually, the game was arguably kind of bad. It was not prime basketball to watch.
Mm.
Both teams were exhausted. Lots of shots missed. But what made it super interesting for me was that same day, I had a friend arriving to Vancouver visiting from Mexico. And I was supposed to go pick this person up at the airport. Now, the game was supposed to start, I think, an hour before this person's flight was supposed to land. So I decked out myself in Lakers gear, took the trip down to YVR.
Wow.
And my plan was to watch first half of the game and then pray to catch the second half back at my place. And back in 2010, I used to live in Burnaby with Rafael, actually.
Mm.
Close to Simon Fraser University in Burnaby. So it's a 40-minute ride, if not an hour.
Mm-hmm.
This is before the, or with the Canada line, I can't remember.
Mm.
Anyways, her flight got delayed for like 2 or 3 hours. And I was like, oh my god, this is perfect. I can watch the entire game. The only caveat here is that I have to watch it at the airport. So I started bouncing off from restaurant to restaurant in the food court that had a TV until I settled. And this place is no longer there if you go to YVR right now. But it's in the corner right before you go into international departures.
Yeah.
That's gate B or C, I can remember. Now, it's a bar now.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be a coffee shop on the corner right in front of the food court, this your regular coffee shop. And I sat down, I ordered a coffee, and I kept ordering donuts and treats and pastries and whatever so I could get to stay there. And then I had Lakers jersey, a Lakers shirt, Lakers everything, Lakers. And then these two guys approached me with their luggage and they're like, hey mate, are you watching the game? And I was like, yeah. And then they asked me, are you a Lakers fan? I'm like, well, you tell me. And turns out that they had just landed from Australia or from New Zealand, I think Australia. And they were hoping to catch the game. So they sat with me and we watched the game together. We high-fived, we embraced, we were super excited when the game was over and obviously the Lakers won.
So let me see if I got this right. Your whole story, your second best basketball moment of your lifetime is a bromance.
Sort of, but it's not the bromance. Here's where it gets super interesting. During the game, no one came around our table because obviously, the attendants and the people working there realized that we were there for the game and to watch the game, not to actually have a drink or to eat anything. So they let us be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was paying full attention to the game. I was nervous. I remember the couple of shots that Kobe missed. And, you know, when Kobe chucks the ball out to Lamar Odom chucks the ball to Kobe and then he runs out with it. Anyways, like I said, it was all high fives and hugs and everything. But it was time to go. The three of us realized that the coffee shop was closed. Not only was it closed, but they put the gate up.
What?
So we were trapped inside the coffee shop at the airport.
Rough.
And I started freaking out because obviously it doesn't look right that there's three dudes inside a coffee shop in the airport. I mean, and the
security.
So security. We started asking for help. And the security guard came.
Oh, man.
He's like, what are you guys doing here? We told him we were watching the game. He took another 10 minutes to come back and they let us out. And I made it on time to pick up my friend. But it was bizarre that, you know, while I was watching the game and enjoying it, this person in charge of the coffee shop. He was like, no, I'll just lock them in.
That's crazy. You basically became invisible to the coffee shop.
Pretty much. Staff. And I do not remember though. And if for some reason these other two guys are listening, please contact me. I don't think so, but it would be nice to touch base with you, because after that, I don't know what happened to them. But I never got a warning like, hey, we're going to close. Would you mind leaving or something? Nothing. It was just, you're done. That's my top two.
Wow.
So because I could watch the Lakers win, and then I also got into a somewhat embarrassing situation at the airport.
And now you're using our podcast to try to reconnect with these two guys.
With my bros, so Laker bros. Yeah.
You're trying to,
shout out to the
start
Laker
this
bros.
Romance again.
Yeah, shout out to the Laker bros. Don't get jealous, man.
Wherever they are.
Okay, so it's my turn now.
Your
right?
turn now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my number two, I'm going to give it to the Atlanta 1996 Olympics.
Oh,
holy crap.
And there are two reasons. First one, there was the last official competition that Oscar Schmidt played for the Brazilian national team.
Oh. Shout out to the legend.
That's when he retired.
Oscar.
And he retired, like he had some memorable games during the 1996 Olympics. It was great to watch. He was older, of course, but he was still like
Wasn't he like 40? At the time when he was playing?
He played with his son.
Yeah, he played with his son.
This is the original LeBron James.
He played for Flamengo for a long time after he retired from the national team.
Crazy.
He retired from the national team and he kept playing basketball in Brazil.
Wow.
But yes, that's one of the reasons. But the main reason are the girls. The Brazilian women national team, they got silver medal in 1996. Atlanta 1996.
Okay.
They were basically playing the whole competition. They were unbeaten, but then they met the Team USA for the finals, and that's when they lost.
Right.
And they got the silver medal. And that's the generation, one of the best women's generation that Brazil had for basketball was this one. They had Hortência. She's a legend
as
well.
I've heard about her, yeah.
Magic Paula. So she got her nickname because of her game resembles Magic Johnson.
Okay.
And then we had Jeanette Arcane. She played for the WNBA for the Houston Comets.
Huh.
She's a four-time WNBA champion. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, we got the silver medal. And these same ladies, 2 years earlier, they were crowned World Cup champions.
Wow.
And I don't remember who we played the final against, but it was in Australia in 1994. So it was a very, very good generation of women's basketball team that we had in Brazil.
Right.
That's why 1996 Olympics is memorable for Brazilian basketball.
Hmm. Nice. That's a pretty epic
history.
Team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like a 34-30 material.
Yeah, I mean, of course, in Brazil, it's a big deal. It's not that big of a deal
right.
in other countries, but these people like Magic, Paula, Hortência, Janete, Oscar, they're all legends.
Yeah.
Not only in Brazil, but of course, especially in Brazil.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Are you guys ready for the top one
top
moment
moments.
Of our basketball lives, I guess? All right. I'll get us started. My number one moment is the first time that I played in a hardwood gym.
Wow.
And that happened coincidentally in 2002, the same year that I watched that Mexico versus Argentina game. So that
nice.
Was in the fall,
nice.
At the beginning of the school year. And then in the summer, so the summer of 2002, my parents sent me out on an English camp to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed at Simon Fraser University because that's where the camp was run
mm-hmm.
or based, I don't know. And we stayed in the residence, and it was a super fun experience. But one of the chaperones, because my school sent a group of 15, 20 kids, one of the chaperones, there was usually two or three, was my basketball coach at
yeah.
the time.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And obviously I had a relationship with him, and he had been the chaperone every year that my school had sent a group. And this is, I don't know, like 5-4 years.
Wow.
So the people from the summer camp knew him, and some people within the university.
Shout
even
out
at
to
that
Tamwood
point,
camps.
Shout out to Tamwood. They're still around. and so we were supposed to do activities, right? You had a morning. No, in the mornings you had an English class. In the afternoons you had to pick an activity. And then I guess a couple of days into the camp, I was only here for 3 weeks, I think, if I remember correctly. I think after three or four days, my coach told me, you know, meet me outside of the residences in Macau, for anyone familiar to SFU. Meet me outside at 7. And I said, sure. He said, I have a surprise for you. And obviously, SFU looked a lot different, very similar, but they didn't have the East Gym, the newer one, which is, it used to be a climbing wall. So he met me there with one of my friends from the same school. We both were in the basketball team. And he had the keys for the central gym, which is one of SFU's, it used to be SFU's main court at the time. So he opened the door. It was a hardwood gym. He turned the lights on. There were some banners on the rafters. They were not all basketball. It was all the sports, but I had the entire gym just for myself. It was, I don't know. I'm getting chills right now from reliving that experience, because that's the moment when I saw, like, wow, we don't have that back home. Or I didn't know at the time. I'm sure that a lot of universities had at that point, but I'd never seen or played in a place like that. And I was abroad. I was there, quote unquote, by myself.
Right.
And for the next days, weeks or so, I was playing basketball at the gym almost every day.
Nice.
So not only was I coming from the fall that I was like, okay, this is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That summer, that's when I decided that not only was I fully committed, but I had to study abroad if I ever wanted to even get close to seeing what basketball was really like in the world.
And that's before SFU had the new gym, right?
Way before, yeah. So this is the central gym, still in operation.
The new one is the West?
The West gym. West gym. Yeah, you're right. Not the East, yeah. That was the main court. And now I think only half of it is being used. The other half is for martial arts.
Yeah.
So they have that weird, what's it called? The special, it's like a carpet
where you can fall. It's a tatami.
Yeah, whatever that's called.
Like a fighting mat kind of thing. Yeah. Like. And also they have a climbing wall there now.
No, that's in the East Gym.
Oh, okay.
The other one. But yeah, that's the moment that defined the rest of my adulthood, I guess, and teenage years. Because after that, I was inspired to study abroad. And that's when I realized, like, I have to get, quote unquote, get out. Because it's not like I wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. But if I wanted to even get a shot at playing at a different level, I had to leave home.
Great.
Cool. Please hold the tears and the applause.
Okay.
All right. Rafael, give us your tough moment.
This one is a tough one because, you know, originally I had picked the 1987 Pan American Games.
Whoa. You weren't even born yet.
That's the thing.
That's crazy.
So when the rules came up, then I had to change, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm debating.
What happened in 87?
Well, Brazil played against Team USA. The Pan American Game Finals, and was in Indianapolis, so one of the main basketball.
Okay, this
cities.
Is not your top one, so keep it brief.
Yes,
we're gonna see you
in Indianapolis, and we managed to, you know, beat Team USA. It was the first time that Team USA was defeated in the U.S., and it was after that they decided to start using the Dream Team in 1992. That's when they started in Barcelona.
Right.
So David Robinson was playing for that team in Indianapolis. And that team was a mix of NCAA
players. Yeah.
But they were supposed to be the next, you know,
upcoming
stars of the NBA.
Right.
And Oscar Schmidt was playing for that Brazilian team. So the building where they played that game, I don't remember what's the name of the building, but the Americans actually decided to put the building down 14 years later. And some people in Brazil say that the reason they decided to put the building down is because they didn't want to have to, you know, always remember that that's where they were first defeated by an outsider team.
Damn.
Interesting.
So that was supposed to be my number one before we came up with the rules. So now I think I'm going to choose the first time my father took me to watch the Harlem Globetrotters as my number one.
That is a very fun experience.
Yes, and I think that was around that time, 1996, 1997. I'm not sure if my first NBA game was before my Harlem Globetrotters experience, because that was in Brazil. The Harlem Globetrotters, they used to go to Brazil every year.
Right.
I'm not sure if they're still doing that. But anyways, my father took me to the Harlem Globetrotters. That was like a memorable experience.
Yeah.
I think that was before my first NBA game and before the 1995 NBA season that I mentioned as my third top moment, right? But yeah, that was so much fun. So much
fun. It is super fun.
I've been
dying to go again.
Yeah.
Where did you see your first Harlem Globetrotters?
Same, back home. Back this home? Is like 2002 or 3, probably.
Mm, nice.
Those 3 years were huge for me. Yeah.
So yeah, the Harlem Globetrotters, they definitely are part of my basketball fan story. And I remember that my father bought me the catalog or like the kind
program.
Of like,
yeah.
The program. Yeah, the program. Right. So you had all this, the player profiles and the pictures of the mascot and, you know, like a summary of each player and where they play college and so on. And it was on in English, but I remember that I went through that program like several times, like probably 200 times.
That's
nice. And I knew all the players, I knew their background and so on. And
that's when your research skills started to kick in.
Yes, exactly.
Did
they do the trick where one of them has a bucket and then they throw it with confetti, but then later on it's actual water?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
That's something that they do every game.
That's like their specialty, yeah.
And I also love the interaction between like their superstar player and the ref, because you know there's a lot of dialogue.
Right.
Because like he's wearing a microphone, right? The main guy wears a microphone.
Yeah.
So that's very like that's part of what's so remarkable about the Globetrotters for me.
Shout out to the I think it's the Washington Generals.
Yes,
the opposing
Washington
team.
Generals.
That always loses.
Yes,
that's the team they travel with.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
the Washington Generals,
shout
and
out.
They always
shout
lose
to the top losers.
I think they won once. I can't remember. I might be going off track, but yeah. Shout out to those guys because they're committed to losing.
And you know that the Globetrotters, they always have like, although the name of the players might change, their roles are similar because you always have the guy that it's very good at dribbling, or ball handles, and then you have the guy that it's very good. You know, like dunking, and then you have one guy that has a huge personality and he's the one that is wearing the microphone and so
right,
on.
Right.
First time you watched them, what was your favorite like role player?
It was the main guy, like the guy that was sort of running the show. And there was also a guy that was from Puerto Rico. So the entire show was in
Daniel
English.
Santiago.
I can't
was
remember.
Santiago?
No,
tall guy?
Tall guy, yeah. He was like a forward.
Yeah.
But so the entire game show, it's in English, and then he would later like every now and then he would yell out things in Spanish, so that made it like extra special at the time, because like my parents, I remember going with them and they didn't get a lot of what the main guy was saying, and even then I didn't understand everything, but when this guy came in and sort of chimed in with funny things in Spanish, it was just like extra funny.
I love
and
it.
My mom went to she was chosen by Globy, by the mascot, to shoot a free throw at halftime,
and she hit it.
No, of course not. So the mascot would ask him to get her closer and closer until she was like right underneath the basket, and then Globy got down on his knees like pleading to score, and then my mom got it.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a nice moment. Yeah,
but my favorite player was always the guy that had the crazy ball handles and that he would go to the floor and dribble
on
the
his
ball
knees,
and on
the
his
knee
knees,
pads
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was a spectacle, yeah.
We gotta hit the Globetrotters whenever they come back to town.
I guess so,
yeah.
That'd be cool.
I know that they go almost every year, they go to Ontario, but I'm not sure about
they
BC.
Come every year.
Yeah.
It's just usually in December for some reason.
Is that when it?
I think so, because every year that I've wanted to go, I'm out for
holiday season.
For this or that, yeah.
Crazy.
All right, Fs.
All right. Top
take
one,
us home.
It's kind of like Raph's top or his third one, where it goes back to a certain season, a certain year, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was also around 95-96, because that's when I first got exposed to the game and got really hooked, and probably explains why we're sitting here today talking about basketball. So I think in 95-96, obviously the Grizzlies came, so that was a big deal. My dad won some tickets. We ended up going to see their first game, and I think it was against the Heat. Don't remember much from the game, to be honest. Just remember being there and knowing that, holy crap, like, there's an NBA team here. Like, there's an actual
game. Was this their first game?
I don't think it was their first game.
Okay,
it was definitely their first season.
Right.
Yeah. And then just knowing that, you know, we have a team here and we can watch NBA and it's just in our backyard, we're kind of like spoiled at the time, just thinking, wow, like Jordan could be here any given day now. And that was, yeah, 96. And at the same time, I think 95, 96 is when the Sonics made the finals against the Bulls. So just knowing that and like the proximity of how close Seattle was made us feel even closer to the game. So I think, yeah, 95 was an instrumental year for like just being exposed to it and then getting hooked. Yeah, because that game was not memorable. I don't even think they scored over 80 points or whatever. And yeah, there weren't many good players on either sides. I mean, maybe the Heat had like Alonzo Mourning or something, mm-hmm. and Tim Hardaway, but Grizzlies, I don't know. They had Big Country and a bunch of other role players.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really like a year. The entire year was kind of like a memorable basketball moment, I guess.
That's awesome.
Because later on, your favorite player, Eddie Jones, played for the Miami Heat as well, right? Did he play for Miami before playing for Charlotte?
He also played for the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
he also played for the Lakers.
And the Lakers, yeah. So he, 94, 95. So around that time.
So it seems that for you too, 95, 96 was a big year, right?
It was an intro to basketball, really, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember if prior to that I was already like watching basketball in Brazil or playing a little bit of basketball.
Yeah.
I also don't remember if the Globetrotters came before the 1995 season or after the 1995 season, but I can tell you that 1995 NBA season was very important for me. I remember like my father putting the VHS tapes
because
he recorded the finals because it was like the games were too late, so I couldn't stay awake to watch them. So I remember that.
Right. Wow. VHS. Sounds so foreign.
Yeah. Well, this was amazing, guys. It's crazy to think that we've known each other for a while now, but we've never talked about these moments. They're so personal, right? They're embedded in our memories. Mm-hmm. And I would invite everyone that is listening to send out maybe not your top three, but your top moment in basketball memory. This could have been your first game when you got hooked to the game. That seems to like the moment that we got hooked to the game or to a team seems to me that was a reoccurring theme here.
I'm like, choosing we the all top remember three. Yeah. It's tough.
It is. It's tough to come up with your top three, let alone your number one moment, right?
Right. To prioritize.
One of the next topics that we could come up with is like the top three of your playing basketball memories. And then we can talk about that.
Right. So. Yeah.
But yeah, everyone out there listening right now, send us your top moment in basketball history. This could be
recent. Past.
Yeah, whatever it is. We want to hear your story and see what happens. We would love to see what everyone has to say about it. All right. As always, if you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate us those 5 stars and leave a review. That would be very nice of you to do. You can also follow us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, on Twitter at dropping_dimes1, on Facebook at facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. On our website, www.dropping-dimes.com. If you want to get a hold of us via email, it's contact@dropping-dimes.com. All right, and make sure that you send us your top basketball moments, as many as you want. We'll read them all. This is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out.